Welcome to the Hirogenics podcast series, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the podcast today. We are going to be talking about stress and how to deal with stress. I have with me today Clatice Clark, who is a mental health aficionado and specialist. She works with people every day who have experienced trauma, and she knows how to help her clients overcome extreme stress and trauma. I am Kimberly Sever. I'm an HR human resources business partner for ACS Solutions, which is the parent company for very many companies, but one of them is Hirogenics. So we will be talking today about stress. Clatice, tell us some more about yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I am. My official title is LAPC. I am a licensed associate professional counselor, which is also a mental health therapist. I have been working in the field for about 4 to 5 years now. And as Kimberly stated, I help clients, professionals, patients, many different types of people in many different walks of life deal with stress, and which is in our lives every single day. You know, recognizing when you're stressed, recognizing your behaviors, how to cope with those things. And so thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and talk about this subject that's very important.
Thank you so much for being here. So before we even get into the topic really well, I wanted to throw out a few statistics about stress that maybe a lot of people don't know. About 33% of people report feeling extreme stress, right? And 77% of people experience stress that affects their physical health. 73% of people report having stress that impacts their mental health. And 48% of people report having trouble sleeping because of stress. Now, this is all because of reported by recoveryvillage.com. And so as we're thinking about stress and those numbers, right, they go on to talk about that's in America. And so globally, they talk about 75% people around the world report feeling stress that impacts their health. Let's talk a little bit about what we actually mean when we start talking about stress, right? So, Clatice, how do you define stress?
Such a very, very good question, because it is a word that's thrown around quite a lot. I think you'll just see someone and they'll say, oh, I'm feeling stressed. I'm stressed. I'm stressed. And so it's good to know, what do you mean by that? How do you know you're feeling stressed? So the definition of stress is a feeling of emotional or physical tension. And it can come from any event or any thought that makes you feel frustrated, angry, nervous. Stress is the opposite of happiness. The opposite. It's your body's reaction to those challenges or those demands. Believe it or not, in short bursts, stress can be positive because it can help you avoid danger, make a deadline. But long-term stress is a problem. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, right?
It is. And so now the current times that we're living in, right, we're dealing with political unrest all over the world. We're dealing with the pandemic, which we know the impact that has had. It's been talked about and examined to infinitum, so we won't spend a lot of time there. Now we're dealing with the impacts, the global impacts, but also the immediate American impact of the recession, civil unrest in the U.S., and then the amalgamation of all of those things put together, right? And then you just have your daily stressors, just marriage and family and kids, on top of all of those big things that we're going through as a society and as a global community. So now when you put all of those
Kimberly, right? Stop. You just stressed me out.
Stop. I stressed you out, right? I stressed you out.
Oh my gosh, you just stressed me out.
I'm stressed too. Mention it. So now,
absolutely.
How do we deal with that? Like everybody feels like they're drowning, they're underwater. We've talked about what stress is. Can you tell me a little bit of the ways that stress can affect us physically?
Oh, wow. How stress affects us physically, you know, the long-term ramifications of stress is they've connected it to just even diseases. But every single day, you know, we can lack sleep, you know, poor appetite, We can, you know, even in reference to what we're able to get done for the day. If you ever had such a crazy day in front of you where you've had so many things to do and you look back and you haven't got anything done.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. And that's stress because it can actually paralyze us and we think mm-hmm. we're getting something done and we don't know which way to turn. And so on an everyday basis, it even can affect our marriages, our relationships with our friends, families, children, all of those different things, because stress will make you feel, it'll, you know, make you more angry. It will shorten your temper. So all the way from the physical to the emotional, it can affect every realm of your life.
Right. So you talked about the physical, and even things like, you know, we know high blood pressure and diabetes and any kind of physical ailments that one might have, it will exacerbate those, right? So whatever that is, you can certainly know that it will be made worse by stress. So we talked about that, and we talked about how it can increase your anger or shorten your temper. You touched on this, how it affects you mentally in that you're less likely to get things done. Can you expand upon that, like how it can dull our cognitive functioning and how it impacts us mentally?
Because you know what? It really is very, very basic, because stress makes you feel tired. It makes you anxious. Yeah. It makes you depressed. And so trying to get something done when you're tired, anxious, depressed, it's like you're walking around holding a boulder on your back, trying to get things done. Something, a weight that imagine if you was to be able to put it down, you'd run faster, you'd achieve tasks quicker. You know, when you're happy, you know, and you're on vacation, it's like the days go quick. It's fast. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, have you ever been on vacation and you've been there one day and the next day you're like, what day do we get here? It's because you're happy and it's like, in that stress, right?
Yeah.
But stress stretches things. Stress will stretch things out. You know, it will really, when you're holding that boulder, everything in your life feels much harder to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And so that includes mental tasks, right?
Yeah, absolutely, mental tasks. And there's so many tasks that require your mental to be,
most of them.
For you to be effective at work, even as the manager of your household, you know, I've seen clients who are like, I need to get my bills done. And it's not a hard thing for you to put, I guess it would be hard if you didn't have the money, but if you've got the money, you're working, there should be no problem for you to sit down and simply do your bills. But stress will prolong that out. It'll make you put it off. And then you're stressed. And then you're stressed that you haven't paid your bills because you're stressed. And it's like, it gets in front of everything. And even it makes the stress makes you even more stressed because you haven't completed tasks that you needed to complete.
Right.
It compounds.
So it becomes this thing that's kind of this cycle that feeds itself. Yeah, so you're stressed because you haven't paid your bills, and then the not paying the bills creates a situation that is stressful, which makes you more apt to not pay your bills because you're more stressed.
Exactly.
Yes. And so it just comes this never ending cycle.
Yeah.
So now we've talked about some of the physical, the mental, the emotional impacts of stress. We talked about what stress is. We've talked about some of the things that are causing us stress. How do we deal with it?
Oh my God.
So how do we fix all of these things, especially those things that we can't control? We can't control the civil unrest necessarily. We certainly couldn't control the pandemic. We can't control the recession. We can't control the political unrest. How do we create relief in our lives from all of this stress that we're talking about?
Oh, wow. That's such a complex question. Because it's not going to be the same answer for everyone. And I think the most important thing, of course, is recognizing your stress. And what are the symptoms? I have, believe it or not, seen so many people who walk around and don't even know they're stressed. But it's everything around them. But it's like they're living, they've made it part of who they are, what they're doing or whatever. And therefore, they don't even recognize it until they come to me and they're like, I wonder why I'm not getting this done, or I have headaches all the time, or this is happening and I'm always snappy. And I'm like, you ever consider that you may be stressed, you know? So,
right.
And so with that being said, first recognize, what are your symptoms of stress? What are your physical signs that show you that you're stressed?
Could you give us some examples? Like how might someone know that they're really kind of at their limit with stress?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing is, and this ties back to what we were talking about, because you were saying, about your mental performance. So when you're stressed, your brain chemistry is affected. It interferes with your normal sleeping patterns. It makes you feel anxious, irritable, depressed, all of those things. So it's actually being present, believe it or not. And, you know, not so stress. You have to be in the present moment and be connected to what's going on with you. And some of us are moving so fast. We're in the future in our heads. We're thinking about the past, what we didn't do, should have did, could have did, you know, and right. So it actually requires you to be present and connect to those feelings that you're feeling right now. If you're not sleeping well, you probably are stressed. You know, and this speaks to, some people may relate to this, that when they lay down, their mind just starts racing.
Oh boy. That's me.
Yeah. Can I call you out, Miss Kimberly? No, I'm sorry.
Yes, you can. You can call me out. Yeah.
I can relate. That is actually me as well. And so that's a sign that you may be feeling some stress, because now you've laid down and you've settled down. And instead of being like, let me drift off into this nice, peaceful sleep, your mind is like, what about this? What about that? And what about this?
Right.
And so, yeah, so just trying to pay attention to what your particular signs of stress may be. Like I said, lack of sleeping, racing thoughts, feeling down, being snappy with your family. And, you know, also, if you've got some people around you, you know, some family members, they may be able to tell you, you know, when you, like, say you're getting ready for a vacation, and this is maybe to the moms or their dads, I don't, you know, whoever, who may be like, you know, you've in those crunch time, you're trying to pack people, you're trying to this, sometimes you're feeling stressed. How do you behave? Are you snappy? Are you, you know, what are those things that are happening to you? Because you can probably connect to those immediately, because in that moment, that would be a temporary stress. Because once you get on the plane or the road or whatever, hopefully now you're feeling better, you know, and then your kids will be like, woo. Mom, she
barely made it.
Mom was yelling at us, and Dad was, you know, short when we spoke to him. So sometimes the people around you can tell you, they'll be your mirror to say, hey, this is how you kind of act when you're stressed. And once you kind of have those ideas and know how you behave when you're stressed, then you can start putting some of these things that we're going to talk about into play to reduce that stress.
But now, what are some of those things?
Okay, so I hate to say this because this is going to sound so terrible. So I apologize in advance, everyone, because there is just no quick fix. There is some definite things that you can apply right then, but even they take a little practice sometimes. So I'm going to start with the ones that are very obvious. And like I said, I apologize in advance. I just told you the stress could keep you up, right? But actually, lack of sleep also causes you stress.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But you need to get plenty of rest.
Yes. It's the problem and the cure, right? It is the illness and the cure. The sleep issue, of course, is. Okay, Clatisa, we have talked about all the different types of stress that there are. We talked about how they can affect us mentally and physically, emotionally. I want to talk about now, how do you cope with all that? Like, you have all of these stressors. We've got all these things, especially the things that we can't control. How do we cope with those? What are some practical things we can give people to help them cope with stress?
So that is the question, right? How do we cope with stress on a day-to-day basis? And I think it's such an interesting thing, because there's no magic. Mm-hmm. You know, there is just intentions of being, you know, less stressed. And so I'm going to ask everybody to not be upset, because I do have to start with the basics, right? You've got to get your rest. You've got to get your sleep. I hear people talk about, you know, working, grinding and working 10 hours and I don't survive off 4 hours of sleep. But, you know, that's not really good for you. And you may be able to think you are, but you have no idea if it's what it's causing. If it's causing you to be more short, if it's causing you to be less creative, if it's affecting your memory. Mm-hmm. And so starting with those basics of getting sleep, and then don't kill me, everyone. Okay, avoiding excessive alcohol.
Oh, but that is one of the ways that we cope with stress. Excessive alcohol.
And I want you to say, just, I know everyone likes to unwind with a glass of wine. Unwind mm-hmm. with a glass of wine.
Right.
A long day. But you want to just keep a, you know, be
moderate.
Yeah, you want to know, am I doing this every day? Is this the way I unwind? Every mm-hmm. single day. Is this the way I'm doing it? And so I say excessive. So, and so that goes to do with tobacco or any type of substance. Because eventually, you know, bad habits can form from that. You know, if that's what our go-to is, like, you know, you've seen people who are very, very stressed and a cigarette is what helps them. We know that those, you know, adverse effects from too much of those things will eventually affect your health, and then you will be stressed as well from that. So
you're saying instead of reaching for unhealthy ways of coping with stress, we need to reach for healthier ways of coping with stress.
Yes, and so like getting that sleep, that's why I said you won't like these first couple things I'm going to say.
Okay, we're going to deal with
excessive things like alcohol, tobacco, exercise.
Oh no, my kryptonite.
No. That's why I said you have to forgive me, because there's, these things are tried and true. And exercise, even though a lot of people don't like it when they're doing it, the effects of it afterward are so great for your body and so great for your stress, because it releases those endorphins. You know, you just feel better. It gives you those good vibes. And I know there's people that do, you know, really, really intensive things. And I'm not talking about that type of exercise. It's amazing how a good walk with a good friend will refresh you. You know, you're like, let me go call a friend. Let's just go for a good walk. And that's actually, I'm not necessarily talking about to lose weight. I'm talking about just the things that happen to your body when you're walking and talking. And so those are those things that I said that are kind of tried and true. We know that those will work. But I would also like to tell, especially anyone who is in the over 40 crew, that stretching is a really good one. So I put these three together: deep breathing, stretching, meditating. And I know a lot of people will say, well, I can't meditate, but you can definitely deep breathe. It's something about breathing deeply within your body and taking a moment to center yourself that relieves your stress. It slows your heart rate down. You just start to feel better. Mm. And so there's one exercise routine that I love. It's called 4-7-8. Real simple. You know, you breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold it for 7 seconds, and then you breathe out for 8 seconds. And I say, so if you can't meditate, but you can definitely do this 4-7-8, sit there, be still for a minute when you're overwhelmed, to center yourself, and every your task ahead of you will feel like, okay, I can get through this day. I can get through this moment. I can get through this whatever. So, yeah. So some of those things, and who doesn't love a good stretch?
So like some yoga, on YouTube or something like that.
Yoga, and if you want to go into yoga, you can. That's fantastic. But I don't want to put people off by thinking that they have to even do yoga. There's some great I don't want to advertise here, but let's just say there's great like YouTube, Alexa type things that'll just give you a great little 10-minute stretch. Like, let me do, and it'll just have you sit there for 10 minutes and do a nice stretch. So of course, yoga, if you want to go there, and that's phenomenal. But if you have the yoga, if you're not ready for yoga, I like to give people practical tips that they could just apply into their life every single day. And stretching for 10 minutes is one of them.
Okay, very good. Do you have anything else?
Let's see. We talked about walking. Oh, making time to unwind, you know, unwinding. I want to hit on a little bit how self-care is really like a buzzword these days. I hear it all the time, all over the place, all over social media. like, oh, this is my self-care Sunday. I am going to get my nails done. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I think that those are great things, but that's not really self-care. That's more like maintenance. Self-care is doing the things that you need to do on a daily basis to give you the life that'll be less stressed, that'll pour more into you and not out of you. And so when people are constantly just waiting for a vacation to feel better, it's like we need to find a way to have a little bit of vacation every single day. And that comes from doing different things in your life that you know will make your life better. Whether that is limiting things, saying no sometimes to things.
Oh, that's a good
one. You know, what are the things that you need specific for your life for it to be fuller and better and not, you know, over and not overextend yourself? So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. I think the saying no is huge. And it was one of those things that in my own life, once I fully embraced no, and then it didn't mean that I wasn't a nice person. It didn't mean that I wasn't generous in giving. It meant that I was allocating my resources, and my main resource is myself, right? My energy,
only one of you.
My time. There's only one of me. So once I decided that I needed to best allocate my best resource, my main resource, which is me, to the things that were the most important to me, then saying no became critical in order to be the best Kimberly that I could be in whatever way that meant in that moment. So in some moments that means being a really good mother. In some moments that means being a good wife. In some moments that means being a good daughter. In some moments that means being a really good HRBP or employee relations specialist. So some moments that means being a really good friend. But if I'm saying yes to everything, that I'm taking away time from all those other things.
Absolutely.
So that's really good. I think that saying no is critical to maintaining stress. Which kind of takes me to stress in the workplace, which is kind of along this line of what we're talking about, but a little bit off the track some, but related in so much as how do we cope with stress at work? Because so much of that is, again, out of our control.
Right. And so I think that's such a great topic to talk about because, you know, stress, common sources of stress can be just having an excessive workload, whether you feel like you don't have opportunities for growth, whether your work isn't engaging or challenging, if you don't feel like you're supported in the workplace. And like you said, not having control over any job-related decisions, that can feel, you know, stressful. So I want to turn around and ask you, because you're in that beautiful position of yours and you work with people every single day trying to help them balance that, right? And so what are some ways that you feel like being that sometimes in the workplace, all you can control sometimes is yourself? What do you think are some great ways to help reduce stress in the workplace?
Well, I think that one of the main things you can do is communicate. So you have to communicate what you're feeling with your boss. The same way if you're stressed out in your relationships in your personal life, your relationship with your boss is really, really a critical relationship in your life. And so you have to communicate, listen, I'm not feeling super engaged right now, and I'm not feeling challenged, and I'd like to take on more work. If you're not feeling engaged, maybe that's what you're saying. If you're not feeling appreciated, or if you're feeling overworked, if you're stressed because you're taking on, maybe because of this great resignation, you're having to do your job and two other people's job at the same time, but you're not getting more pay. This is something that you need to communicate. I'm feeling overworked. I can't continue working at this pace. What are we going to do? We need to hire more people. And the boss is going to say, maybe I'm trying, but we can't, or there are budget limitations. But here's the thing. When that happens, that is not your responsibility to fix those things. It is not your responsibility to be three people. And so, you know, even in this relationship, you have to be able to set limits. The relationship between the employer and the employee, it has to be mutually beneficial. And so it's not just one-sided anymore. We don't live in that world anymore, hence the great resignation.
Right.
Right? And because so many employers were treating it like it is still a one-sided relationship where I tell you. No, it's mutually beneficial. And so I think talking to your supervisors or your management, expressing to them, if you're not feeling challenged in your job, if you're feeling overworked, if you want to move up, if they don't know that you want to be promoted, they won't get you ready for a promotion, right? And you never know. And always just ask. The worst they can do is tell you no. Say, I would like to earn more money. What can I do to position myself to get a raise in the next 6 months to a year? These are conversations you can have. And if your boss is not initiating those conversations with you, then you initiate them with them at request a meeting and say, I have some things I want to talk to you about my job. And they, most of the time, they will be impressed by your forethought and your initiative. And said that, now they know that you want to do these things. Okay, well, if you want a promotion within the next year or 6 months, let me start by giving you these additional tasks and see how you do with them. And so that's how you start. And I think also, though, this is a good place to put some of those things in practice. So avoidance can lead to procrastination. When we think we're going to be stressed about something, right, we avoid it. And so then we procrastinate. And then we save it to the last minute. And then we're stressed out. Right. And so I think planning, doing things ahead of time, pacing yourself so that you're meeting your deadlines and you're not staying up until midnight the night before a deadline to get something done. I think that's a really good way to deal with stress in the workplace. And listen, do your time and then get out of there. So now a lot of us are working from home. It's easy to be the same as your workspace be the same as your living space. And so shift your environment. So in my home, and I know everyone can't do this. I have an office. Listen, when 5:30 comes, I get up from this desk. I go and sit somewhere else in my house. So Clatice, I think that we have talked about stress. We have talked about what it is, how it impacts people, even some ways that they can deal with stress at home, in their home lives, and in their work lives. I think we've helped our listeners today. I want to thank all of you for listening. And Clatice, I want to thank you so much for joining me. That's what makes you the very best girlfriend in the world.
Thank you for having me today. Thank you for having me. I love what you said about how important it is to just show some initiative. And I think it's important with all of it. And when I said intention, being intentional, because work-related stress, it doesn't just disappear when you head home. So, you've got to, it can take a toll on your health and your well-being. So those points that you brought up, I think were very, very good. And just thank you for having me, everyone. Just, if there's a lot going on out there, take some time to pour into yourself and, more importantly, figure out what those ways are that fill you up and rejuvenate you. They may not be the things that everybody else does that rejuvenate them. Try to find out what rejuvenates you and then apply those on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And so that you're not just waiting for that vacation or that Saturday or the weekend, the weekend or whatever, to feel better about yourself. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And again, thank you to all of our listeners today for tuning in. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Hyagenics Podcast, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. For more information, visit hyagenics.com. Your success is our success.